Good morning, everybody. Welcome to St. Margaret's. It's the first time I've said welcome to St. Margaret's here. Derek and I have done a couple of a wedding and a baptism here, but we've never led a service together here. So it's a great privilege for us to be able to do this morning. So thank you for having us. And let's hope we can all worship God together. I think you all should have a notice sheet. So I'm not going to spout any of those notices that are already written there. But there is a notice not in that sheet, and that's that this evening on the Common at 7:50, from 7:50 to 8:05, there's a service of reflection taking place in thanksgiving for the life of our late Queen. So if you would like to go along, you'd be very welcome, and Graham is going to be leading that this evening. 7:50 on the Common, just for 15 minutes. So as we come into God's presence, let's just be still. Just gather ourselves. Be aware of his presence with us. And we're going to begin our service by singing number 234, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Please stand to sing if you're able. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please do sit or kneel as we pray. And we pray our gathering prayer together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all people. And we pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault.
We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon you and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And we have collects for today. The first for this 14th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, whose only Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence, give us pure hearts and steadfast wills to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And a prayer for our dear late Sovereign Queen. Merciful Father and Lord of life, we praise you that we are made in your image and reflect your truth and light. Thank you for the life of our late Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, for the love she received from you and showed among us. Above all, we rejoice at your gracious promise to all your servants, living and departed, that we shall rise again at the coming of Christ. And we ask that in due time we may share with your servant Elizabeth that clearer vision promised to us in the same Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. And we'll now have our two readings. I think Sally and Sue are going to come and read for us. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Amos, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 4. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, When will the new moon be over, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath be ended, that we may market wheat, skimping on the measure, boosting the price, and cheating the dishonest scales, buying the poor with wheat, with silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. The Lord has sworn by himself, the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything they have done. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
The New Testament lesson is taken from the first letter to Timothy, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord.
So before Derek comes to read the gospel for us and to preach for us, we're going to sing together number 2, Abide With Me.
Thank you. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do, now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I'm dismissed as a manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that whence it's gone, they may welcome you into the eternal home. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? If you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Amen. And so may my words in them the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. There is a story about a woodcutter, and he's busy chopping wood. And he's down at the edge of the river. And whilst he was chopping away, the head of his axe flew off into the river. And of course, if you're a woodcutter, and you've no axe head, there's no way can he cut down trees and earn a living. So in desperation, he called out to God to rescue his axe head from the river. "Please, God, rescue my axe, otherwise I will starve." Sure enough, God responded. There was a loud splash, and a hand came out of the water holding a golden axe. "Sorry," said the woodcutter, "my axe is old and rusty. This isn't the one." The hand goes back into the water, then comes out bearing a silver axe. "Sorry," said the woodcutter, "my axe is old and rusty. This isn't the one." So the hand goes back into the water and comes out with a well-used rusty axe. "Yes, that's the one," said the woodcutter. "Thanks very much. I won't starve now." As he said this, a voice boomed out. "Because you've been truthful with the axe, you shall have the gold and silver ones as a reward." And the woodcutter was overjoyed. A couple of weeks later, he and his wife were walking past a spot on the river. Unfortunately, his wife fell in and disappeared under the water. In desperation, the woodcutter cried out to God to save her. Sure enough, there's a splash. A hand comes out of the water, bearing Nicole Kidman. "Yes, that's her," said the woodcutter. "Thanks very much." "Just a minute," said the voice. "That isn't your wife. Why are you lying to me?" "Well," said the woodcutter, thinking very, very quickly, "I'm a poor man. And yet if I said no, you'd bring another one out. Then my wife. And you'd give them all to me. And I can't afford to keep them." God's response is not recorded. The woodcutter, of course, has been economical with the truth. I mean, economical with the truth seems to become very much a part of a way of life to many in public life today. I've just finished reading a book about cryptocurrency. that wonderful mystic thing that's in the on the web, where you never see the money and it's invested by other people, and all being well, the profit figures go up. But of course, the way that profit figures are told to you, they get easily massaged, and of course they deceive investors from knowing what's really happening. And that's been the story on several occasions over the last few weeks. Similarly, today's parable, the story centres around the way that dishonesty is handled. Okay, the whole issue of dishonesty. And in many ways, it's an unusual parable. Okay, it takes you to the rough, cutthroat competition of business life, as it was in 2,000 years ago. And realise how much Jesus was in touch with life as it was at its rawest and fiercest. So this is a story that we have what we call a big-time operator, an unscrupulous, dishonest manager who worked for a man not much better than himself. And so when the story of the steward's deceit reaches the man's ears, the boss's ears, he commends the steward for his dishonest cleverness, which also proves he's no better than the steward. It's a tale of two rogues taken right out of the world of business. And of course, again, these sort of stories are very familiar to us. You can read them in the financial pages of our newspapers, and you hear about them on television. So it's a story of a man who's entrusted with the use of his boss's money. A familiar account of dubious speculation, perhaps, padded expense accounts, maybe lavish entertainment, and juggled bank accounts. But of course, one day, the reckoning comes. And when the wasted expenditure of the steward comes to light to the boss, he's ordered to turn over his books and to leave. So this man is faced with a sudden loss, what's long been taken for granted, and he's forced to think soberly and seriously about his future. So, quick thinkingly, he hits on a solution to his problems. He desires to take advantage of his position as the handler of his master's goods. And before the news gets out that he's been fired, he put all his master's creditors into his debt by reducing their bills considerably, with the hope, of course, that he'll find an open door, one of these men, to whom he's done a favour when his own world comes crashing down upon him. Undoubtedly, it's a very clever thing to do, but it was thoroughly dishonest. It was unquestionably shrewd, and Jesus, in telling this little story, acknowledges the fact. And it's quite an interesting parable in that, instead of being condemning, in a way, Jesus is actually saying it was very, very shrewd of this individual. But he doesn't condone the actions, and he does say the man was dishonest. He also says he was very prudent. And then he says, the sons of this world are wiser in their own generation than the sons of light. And that's, I guess, an indication that this man, this story, are something that teaches us followers of Jesus. He has cleverness, shrewdness, and the prudence it'd be as well for us to take notice of. But of course, as all with parables, it isn't just about the straight telling of the story. It isn't just about business. It's about one day the fact that we're going to have to give an account to God of all those resources he's given us. He's given each one of us a certain amount of time, a certain amount of money, certain gifts and abilities to use in his service. He's given each one of us a certain number of opportunities to tell others about him. And one day, whether we like it or not, he's going to ask us how we've used them. Have we wasted the things he has given us, or have we used them properly? And we can only ask for ourselves. But someday, God is going to ask us, what on earth are we going to say? In the parable, Jesus isn't telling us we have to be dishonest. That should give away other people's money. His point is this. The dishonest manager used money, his boss's money, to buy friends for himself and to ensure he'd have somewhere to live when he had no money of his own. We too can use our own money and all the other resources we have, God's money, God's resources, to create friends for ourselves and a home in heaven that will be ours forever. We can invest our time, our money and our energies in things that won't last. Stuff that we can't take with us when we go. Or we can invest in things that will last eternally. And so I think in that reading, that parable, is giving us a stark choice. Either we love God or we love money. Each of these, by their very nature, makes a claim upon us. But we cannot give ourselves half and half. We often try to do that. But we continue trying to do it by deluding ourselves that that can happen. So, whilst at the time we may step over the line in material things, for the rest of the time we are faithful to God. That's the half and half that I guess Jesus is telling us we can't do. And he emphasizes the point. He says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What Jesus is doing is highlighting the fact that there's no compromise between the two. It's not possible. You can use mammon for the service of God, but you can never use God to serve mammon, because love of money is really the love of self. If we succeed in our pursuit of wealth, our life becomes increasingly self-centered and distant from God. So the real message that's coming through to us is, we need to make sure we're giving as God wants to do, perhaps supporting those who are less fortunate than ourselves, supporting the work of the church, supporting those who are bringing into the love of Jesus to do those who don't yet believe. Is it costly? Well, yes, it is. Is it demanding? Yep, it is. Is that what Jesus requires of us? Yes, it is. But we've got to ask ourselves, is it the best investment of our time and money that we can possibly make? And the resounding answer has to be yes. So let's start investing in things that really matter. Amen.
Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of your holy presence in our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers. A prayer for our Queen. Gracious Lord, we thank you for our inspirational Queen Elizabeth, who by her lifelong Christian faith has shown us how to serve others with kindness and humility and honesty, and to follow the teachings of Jesus to the very end of her life. We pray that she will be reunited in heaven with her beloved Prince Philip. We pray for King Charles, that the Holy Spirit will be beside him as he takes up his demanding duties and grieves for his dearest mother and father. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for our interregnum. Gracious God, you are with us always. We thank you for guiding us by your Holy Spirit through our life together as a church. We pray that we may hear your voice during this time of interregnum. Grant us patience, grant us vision, and grant us courage as we seek a new priest for our two churches. And by your grace, lead us to a more Christ-like church, a church which is thoughtful, compassionate, and courageous. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A prayer for help. Help us with peace and reconciliation in our world, and for love to overcome mistrust and conflict. Help us to be active Christians in our own communities and always to do the right thing by Jesus. Help us to bring Christian meaning and purpose to the lives of those who have lost their way. Help us to be kind to one another and to encourage newcomers to come and discover Jesus in our church at St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy, a prayer for leaders, especially our own and all those who have come to London for this funeral of our beloved Queen. We pray for our world leaders, that they will use their power for good and not for evil, and collaborate in finding solutions to war, especially in Ukraine, poverty, disease, and climate extremes in your beautiful creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for others known to us. We pray for those carrying heavy burdens, who are unwell or in recovery. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are experiencing the difficulties of anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your love is always with them, and make us generous with our response to their difficulties. We pray for those listed on our notice sheet. Paul and Jean Rickett's daughter-in-law, Amanda, who is undergoing chemotherapy. Caden Edwards, who is undergoing proton beam therapy. Katie and James and the friends and family of Carol O'Brien on their loss. In a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in your beautiful creation, which needs to be preserved and cherished by all of humanity. Inspire us to share our many blessings with others so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Roger. So if you're able, please do stand as we share what we believe and speak out the words of the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And please remain standing as we share the peace together.
So may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Sorry, I'm jumping.
I haven't done my bit. Come here. It's a good bit as well. Christ Jesus himself, human, gave his life as ransom for all, that in him we may find newness of life, forgiveness and peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. You could have done it again. So please do share the peace together. And we'll sing hymn number 147, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Going to use Eucharistic Prayer 2 on page 7. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Please sit or kneel as we pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh. As your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will
and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. We turn to page 17. And we pray together as Jesus himself has taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace.
Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. God, the source of truth and love, keep us faithful to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, united in prayer and the breaking of bread, and one in joy and simplicity of heart, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And we pray our prayer after communion together.
Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our final hymn is number 527, The Day Thou Gavest, Lord, Is Ended. Life be filled with dignity and peace, your heart with the joy and love of the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and with all those for whom you pray, today and always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
We will sing the national anthem, verse 1, as we leave. before we leave.
Thank you.